WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. CNN has proposed June 27th, ABC September 10th for presidential debates. The Biden and Trump teams have accepted details to be worked out. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says it leaves a nonpartisan commission that traditionally organizes them out of the mix.
The previously scheduled debates by that commission were being held too late in the process after people might have cast their ballots.
CBS's Cammy McCormick tells us the Biden administration has a new plan for military aid to Israel.
This latest package is worth $1 billion. It includes tank ammunition and mortars.
Earlier, the U.S. withheld some weapons over concerns about a Rafah invasion. Coast Guard Vice Admiral Peter Gautier tells Congress the big cargo ship that hit and took down the Key Bridge in Baltimore could be on the move soon.
Unified Command believes that the Dolly will be able to be refloated and removed from that site early next week is what they're looking at.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state senators are voting to override 9 of Governor Evers' recent vetoes. Democrats like Mark Spreitzer complained at yesterday's Senate session.
We shouldn't be here today wasting time on vetoes that you all know are going to be sustained.
Senator Tim Carpenter goes one further.
This right-wing conspiracy garbage.
Republicans don't have enough votes in the assembly to sustain the overrides. Cybersecurity experts are in high demand as businesses see more hacking attacks. American Family Insurance, Quick Trip, and now Ascension Hospitals are just a few Wisconsin companies that have been hacked this year. The Cap Times of Madison reports artificial intelligence will give cyber criminals new tools to steal information. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin State Senate has voted to override 9 vetoes made by Governor Tony Evers, including the line item vetoes used to make $15 million in funding for emergency departments in Chippewa and Eau Claire counties more flexible. The Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee has refused to release the emergency funding because of Governor Evers' vetoes. In order to override the vetoes, the Wisconsin State Assembly also needs a two-thirds approval, which would require Democratic support. Republican state senators announced attempts to override vetoes on 5 bills on Monday, including the line item vetoes made by Governor Tony Evers on $15 million in funding for emergency departments in Chippewa and Eau Claire counties. State Senators Jesse James, Pat Teston, and Romaine Quinn argued the vetoes expanded the scope and intent of the emergency funding, which is currently sitting in the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee. Governor Evers filed a lawsuit to release the funding yesterday. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers beat the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their 3-game set against the Pirates in Milwaukee. Last night, the Brewers' 24-year-old Sal Frelick made a spectacular catch in center field on Bally Sports.
To center field, Frelick on the move. Frelick's back, and he's got it!
Brewers went on to win 4-3. Manager Pat Murphy and why Frelick is just now beginning to show signs as an everyday player.
He's young. You know, remember how young he is. And then it's not just he's not just physically gifted.
College hoops, the new UW Green Bay men's basketball coach, Doug Gottlieb, told Inside Wisconsin what kind of player he expects to be on the team.
Knowing history of it, knowing that in Wisconsin and Minnesota and in the Plains, there's not a crazy amount of high major players. There's a lot. Kids want to play close to home.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A beautiful day today under sunny skies with high temperatures soaring to the low 70s. Winds become a bit breezy overnight tonight and clouds thicken as showers and thunderstorms roll in for tomorrow. It'll be a darker and damper day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our Women Win Wisconsin profile from Motherhood for Good catches up with a key lawmaker from the Fox Valley.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommer, is on the board. It is Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite. And Mr. Zommer, it is
Hump Day.
Indeed it is, this hump day, May 15th. Glad to have you along with us. A newsy day indeed. Going to be joined here, as we always are, on Wednesday by two fine gentlemen, host of Up North News Radio every morning on the Civic Media Radio Network, from the Courier News Service, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, and for our nation's capital. By the way, Pat's on beautiful Lake Wissota. And from all the way from the nation's capital, the cherry blossoms are now past, but Trygve Olsen is still blooming and smiling as ever. The senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from the nation's capital, Mr. Trygve Olsen. Gentlemen, a lot to get to in this hour. And by the way, in hour number two, Keegan Kelly will be here from Cracked.com with a segment on, have comedy podcasts, have they made late night shows obsolete? We'll discuss that with Keegan Kelly in hour number two. But right now, lots to get to. We've got the White House Situation Room. One of the guys there telling ABC that the vice president's life was literally, quote unquote, this close to being taken out. We'll hear from him, from George Stephanopoulos. Also, the Trump trial continues. Republican groupies gather. We'll get takes on that as well. There's a debate going to happen, maybe two, presidential-wise. Doug Gottlieb, the sports radio guy, hired as the head coach of the Green Bay, University of Wisconsin Green Bay men's basketball team. The Chiefs kicker turns out to be a chauvinist in his comments. No wonder the Packers beat him in Super Bowl I and II. But we're going to start right here at home in Wisconsin with a story from WisPolitics. Regular listeners to the show know that I was a former Senate staffer to former state senator and majority leader Dale Schultz. So I'm going to summarize this. And Pat, as a former state senator yourself on the Democratic side, I want you to weigh in on this first. But I'm going to summarize this a little bit from the WisPolitics story. You can fill in as you will. The Senate met yesterday to plow through, according to WisPolitics, 8 veto overrides, largely without incident. Republican leaders then rejected a move by Democrats to bring 5 assembly bills to the floor for votes, including one that would allow the processing of absentee ballots the day before an election. After moving back to the overrides, State Senator Jesse James, Republican of Altoona. By the way, true story. My dad wanted to name me Jesse James Albaugh. That's true. My mom said no, absolutely not. But Jesse James from Altoona ripped Democratic Governor Tony Evers for his veto of the hospital bill. Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu, Republican of Utsburg, quickly called for a vote cutting off the debate and denying Democrats the opportunity to speak on the issue. Dems, of course, protested. State Senator Tim Carpenter, Democrat of Milwaukee, at one point declaring, "This is bull bleep." He used the whole word, BS. Senator Jeff Smith, Democrat of Brunswick, protested as Senate President Chris Kapinga, Republican of Delafield, moved forward with the roll call vote. So basically, the Republicans pushed through this vote, even over Democratic objection, and then they called for a quick gavel to adjourn the state Senate, at which there were several senators on the floor. Senator Carpenter went up to the dais at the front, objecting to this, yelling at Senate President Chris Kapinga, and ended up flinging some papers, apparently, in the air. Afterwards, the Democrats, led by Senator Dianne Hesselbein, said this was the last gasp of partisan gerrymandering. And Senator Lemahieu, the majority leader, confirmed that the reason, or at least he said, the reason they did this and ended in chaos like this is one of his members, John Jagler, quote, had to catch a flight, unquote. Now, number one, Pat, I made a few calls this morning, and this day was a calendared day. This was not a special session. And you know as well as anybody that the state Senate sets their calendared floor days right away at the beginning of the session. And senators and their staff know before you schedule anything else, you check with the leader's office to see if, in fact, you're going to be in that day. So I don't know what Jagler was doing here. I don't know if he had I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Who knows? It might have been a death in the family, a vacation. I don't know. But it appears to me that he shouldn't have scheduled something. And even still, Republicans have a supermajority. They could have carried on without him, Pat.
I'm fine, Todd. How are you? Thanks for asking. Trigvi, how's it going over there?
I'm good, Pat. How are good. You?
Do you know Todd's kind of really hot today?
He's throwing haymakers.
It's physically hot in here today. We have our air conditioning is on the fritz, and I'm not talking about Fitzpatrick.
He just picks up where the Senate session left off with Tim Carpenter throwing papers up into the air and charging the dais, and Jeff Smith, my good friend and colleague, shouting. And well, they were right to be upset. Senator Smith from the Eau Claire area called out Republicans yet again for this veto override on a bill that wasn't entirely necessary, for continuing to block the funds, and then just cutting off any debate on it because, got a plane to catch, got things to do. It's that level of arrogance and hubris and disrespect that, again, I can't emphasize enough, is not normal. No matter how people want to feel about politics, no, they're all seedy and dirty and everything. No, things were actually much more civil, much more respectful, until the bunch that's been in this Capitol and control now for the past 12 years came in and decided that norms and traditions and basic manners, just don't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, folks got a little worked up when you pull stuff like this, when you leave the Chippewa Valley hanging, and from a statewide standpoint, when you decide we're okay with contaminated water as long as it helps us try to make Tony Evers look bad. So no wonder folks get a little frustrated with them from time to time.
Well, Trigvi, you served with both, or at least helped out with former state senators Jim and Sheila Harsdorf. You've had experience in the state Senate. And two things. A, for a leader to cut off debate entirely and not let the other side even say anything, I've never heard of that before. I mean, when my boss was Senate Majority Leader, he never did that. And number two, I don't blame Senator Carpenter and Senator Smith to a lesser degree getting a little hot, because I think people in this state want to know that someone's fighting for them.
I have both my Bill Burnt experience and my Barb Lorman experiences.
That's right.
In the state Senate. I honestly, Todd, I in the back of my head, and I may be wrong about this, but I think Dave Helbach did that once.
Did he really? I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did, actually. So I hate to be on Pat's side here, but
why?
Used to it, pal.
I think both sides have a little bit of a history of doing this, right? But I don't know. I just think, I think to Pat's point, right? People in Wisconsin do care about the water that they have, but I'm kind of think this story has a lot of process elements in it. And, you know, I don't know.
You think it's a non-story?
I just kind of, No, I don't think it's a non-story. I think it's a story about, but the story I think is the narrative of how dysfunctional things that are, that it's becoming, that it's the kind of thing that doesn't happen every day, right? Like Dave Helbach was there. I mean, now I'm an old guy like Pat, but 30 years ago or something. So, yeah. But it is missing a little bit of a circus, right? Yeah,
right. Because what we're missing is a fundamental desire to solve a problem. And
right.
that's what public service, not politics, public service should be, is there's a problem. And I can simply imagine almost every legislator from the 20th century and the 19th century. I can imagine every one of them looking at lawmakers in the 21st century who are letting polluted water fester like this and say, are you kidding? We would not do that. We'd say, the water's polluted. How do we clean this up? And as much as, you know, yes, I will be partisan on this one, as much as Republicans want to try to get on their high horse about this and blame the governor for his vetoes on their bill, the governor has the power of the veto. If you want to change the way government works, and it seems like a lot of folks on the right do these days, well, then have your revolution. But right now, if you believe in the power of a veto and you can't override the veto, which you can't, then figure out how to get the water clean instead of posing for political holy pictures like you did yesterday, wasting taxpayer time and money.
And I think that's a point, Pat and Trigvi, that needs to be made. Everything that happened yesterday on the Republican side was for show, because the Republicans in the Assembly are two seats short of a supermajority. So unless they were going to get two Democrats, which of course is 99.99999% impossible, this bill isn't, these are not going to be overridden in the Assembly. The Assembly has nothing scheduled to even attempt it. So this is all for holy pictures, political holy pictures yesterday. And then a big deal gets made out of the quote unquote chaos when it really meant nothing anyway.
Right. It's narrative building. Right.
Yeah.
They're just looking for something to run around and talk about.
And to Pat's point,
they haven't been really solving problems. I mean, Pat hit the essence. And we have a long, Todd and I just got done doing a podcast where we were talking about this. There's a long history of Republicans and Democrats waking up every day and real leaders and saying, what can I do to improve things for people in the state of Wisconsin? Gaylord Nelson did it. Tommy Thompson did it. Like, we might have disagreements about, Bill Proxmire did it. Like, we might have disagreements with what their solutions were, but at least they were waking up saying, how do we solve problems? These guys aren't. And I do think it's pretty funny in the story that one of the guys said he had a plane to catch, because it reminds me of the old joke that I learned early when I started doing consulting, which is, you got a problem? I got a plane to catch. That's the consultant's mantra.
That's really good. Pat Kreitlow, you live the Chippewa Valley. What do voters, what do citizens up there want from their politicians, from the government?
Well, they want to know that there's going to be a better environment out here for healthcare, for people who are looking, where are they going to deliver their baby? Where are they going to go if they or their aging parents, you know, need a procedure done and not just have to go to the ER? They want some stability, and these funds would help to provide some flexibility if we could get the Republicans to decide that they would like to give a damn.
Pat Kreitlow always says it distinctly and well. We thank you, my friend, every morning, 6 to 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network. We thank Pat Kreitlow. Stay tuned. More of Trigvi Olson. We'll talk presidential debates and the White House Situation Room. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. Joined as always by our friend and colleague, ongoing contributor, Mr. Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, we are in a podcast, but this is how good Trigvi is. The genius switch is never off, as David Letterman likes to say on Trigvi's mind there. A little breaking news, Trigvi, and this is in all seriousness. Give us what you know so far in terms of what's happening over in Eastern Europe and Russia right now.
Yes, so the Prime Minister of Slovakia, which is a country, so Czech Republic and Slovakia were once during the Soviet occupation a single country, right? They split into two. Mm-hmm. They're two distinct people. So the longtime right-wing leader of Slovakia, who I did some work there long ago, is very pro-Putin, kind of a Viktor Orban type, maybe not Viktor Orban light. He was just gunned down and is in the hospital struggling to survive. So, wow. I mean, there's a lot of chaos going on, and it kind of gets to that point, right? Like the autocratic forces and extremist forces, they desire chaos. I mean, that's what a Putin desires. That is what Donald Trump desires. And that chaos ends up percolating across all levels of societies. And we are in a point of a lot of chaos. And, you know, it happens in big ways and little ways. Like what we saw in Wisconsin is, and what they're seeing in Slovakia, obviously, is a little bit bigger way.
So let's
serious.
Let's take that and move into this a little bit in terms of U.S. politics. What we're seeing in the trial out in New York right now going on with former President Trump, and of course the salacious parts of it involved Stormy Daniels, a former porn star. But at its essence, what this thing is really about is that Trump allegedly, still have to use that word, allegedly broke the law when he basically funneled a payment to get the former porn star Stormy Daniels to not tell her story before the 2016 election. He funneled that through the Trump Organization, which is a violation, or through the campaign rather, which is a alleged violation of federal law, of campaign law. And so the judge has put this gag order on Trump, has fined him for violating it. And now apparently Trump has finally figured out it's getting really serious to the point where Trump could be thrown into at least jail. Like, I mean, probably not going to a prison, but there's I understand from other sources, there's a holding cell behind the judge's chambers that he could spend theoretically hours or days in if he keeps violating this. So what he has done now is gotten his minions, to use a Mike Ellis, may he rest in peace word, had gotten his minions to come to Washington, D.C., including the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who is now, we had the clip yesterday we played, of the Speaker of the House, second in line to the presidency, is attacking the judge's daughter for having worked for Democratic elections and attacking the judge's daughter in front of the courthouse. This to me, Trigvi appears to be very, very dangerous, number one, and number two, right out of the playbook, as you remind us of autocrats.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all about fidelity to the leader and the vertical power structure that is the autocratic entity, right? Like you're seeing, you know, in Russia, for those who pay attention, there's a big reshuffling going on. The Minister of Defense was out. And but yeah, you're seeing all these wannabe VPs for Trump. You're seeing Mike Johnson, all these guys who want to demonstrate loyalty are having to go constrict themselves again around the trial. And, you know, what is that issue, as I understand it, is, you know, so campaign, you have to disclose what campaigns are paying for. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump was trying to intentionally avoid disclosing that he was paying hush money to Stormy Daniels. That's what's alleged. And they were violating the law and how they went about doing it. And, you know, quite frankly, there are others who are in jail for doing the exact same thing or who have been convicted of doing that. So, you know, it's ironic that he's saying he's being treated unfairly when in reality he's probably been treated with more deference in all the cases against him than most normal individuals would be.
It just, we played this cut a couple days ago as well from Morning Joe, and Joe Scarborough, of course, a former Republican congressman, now hosts the MSNBC show, along with a couple other people, were discussing how, you know, there's this mega Republican attack on, you know, oh my gosh, you know, people's masculinity, men's masculinity is being threatened. And here yet are these guys like, you know, Ted Cruz, who Donald Trump said his father was part of the JFK assassination and attacked his wife. Here's Marco Rubio, who had his manhood questioned by Donald Trump. Here is Lindsey Graham, who Trump went after mercilessly. And here they all are, along with other people like Mike Johnson, you know, politically genuflecting to this guy. And where is their manhood? You know, where is their own moral character? And is there no one left besides maybe Mitt Romney in the current iteration of the Republican Party that has any chutzpah, that has any political balls?
Well, they only do around the edges, right? Because they're all in fear of what the repercussions would be if they stand up to him politically. And so, you know, you see this constant sort of constricting of oneself, trying to be both things. And, you know, in Wisconsin, you know, you saw this in, I think, you know, you got Robin Voss now saying the Gableman thing was not smart, essentially. Mm. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that's basically what's been implied. And but that was a classic case. If you try and give them an inch, they're going to take a mile.
Yeah. No,
You know, that plays out when dealing with autocratic actors in all kinds of ways. It's why Ukraine is so important, you know, in standing up. You have to stand up to them. And Republicans have been unwilling to do it. What they do instead is constrict themselves, and then they become even more vulnerable and dependent upon those structures. Rather than trying to fight them.
About a minute left here, Trigvi, and I want to get your take on this because I was listening late last night to we play the Tom Hartman show here on much of civic media overnight. He had a Democratic or certainly a liberal progressive caller calling in and trying to tell Tom Hartman why that Zelensky in Ukraine should be trying to come to a peace agreement with Putin. And Hartman just threw it right back at her and said, "You are literally reciting Russian propaganda." I mean, this is right out of the playbook over there.
Yeah, it is. And quite frankly, you know, people, autocratic actors, Putin's an example of this. They only, you know, we sometimes confuse that, you know, they're willing to negotiate, but they're only willing to negotiate as a tactic. You know, I say this over and over again to audiences when I speak to them, it's a zero-sum game. So if they are capitulating in a moment, it's only a tactical retreat because they're not playing a win-win game.
Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, sure, negotiate a peace agreement. There was a peace agreement, the Minsk agreements. Putin went and violated it. He would use that time to recalibrate and move forward.
855-752-4842. We have a question for Mr. Trigvi Olsen coming up next. 855-752-4842. Also going to hear from someone who served as the head of the White House Situation Room on January 6th and discuss that with Trigvi. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned now for an update from our ag reports, weather, and sports.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers over the past week did slow planting progress, but Wisconsin is still ahead of schedule for getting seed into the ground. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and we'd love to hear how things are looking in your field. You can let us know through our talk text line. Send us a message at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. And that's how you can talk directly to us about what you're seeing in the field today. The latest crop progress report says 40% of corn is planted and nearly 40% of soybeans. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing has been impressed with the numbers nationally, too.
Yeah, planting progress actually for corn came in 49% planted, right what the market was anticipating. I thought that number would be a little less just from talking to guys. You know, I thought we'd be over the 40 level, but maybe around that 42, 44 window. So I was a little surprised to see a 13% jump week over week. Now, we have slipped behind pace. Average pace for this time frame is about 54%, but we're at a spot. You know, I've mentioned 2019 in the past. This is not 2019 at this time frame. We couldn't even get in some of these fields. Now, we do have those issues out there, but guys are getting moving a little bit here as the weather has dried out a little in some regions, but they're getting to the spots they can.
John Heinberg joining us, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Stick around for a look at your commodity prices coming up.
Sorting out fact from fiction. That's exactly where Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested this growing season. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, says farmers are being approached with so many different products these days, it's important they get clear, correct information.
Those farmers are really getting bombarded with, you know, carbon farming, be able to improve soil health. But what does this really mean? It's kind of a big nebula. So we're really trying to say these indices are ones that farmers can use and rely on, and they have a relationship with soybean yield. And we've identified some of those. But the cool thing is now we're wondering what management strategies help alter or change those. So can we actually improve our soil health metrics? And one thing that we found in this initial data set is that we've seen actually long-term, and by long-term, I mean a minimum of 5 years of cover cropping, actually improve some of our soil health metrics. So that's important and exciting for farmers.
Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean researcher, taking Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars to the field. Follow the story at wisoybean.org.
Grain markets are mixed Wednesday from Chicago. December new crop corn is trading down 2 cents at $4.89 a bushel. November new crop soybeans are trading up 4.5 cents at $12.09.5. And July new crop wheat is trading up 3.75 cents at $6.76.25. Class 3 milk continues to give back the gains it saw earlier this week. The June contract is down 40 cents at $20.46 a hundredweight. July milk is down 16 cents at $19.75. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A beautiful day today under sunny skies with high temperatures soaring to the low 70s. Winds become a bit breezy overnight tonight and clouds thicken as showers and thunderstorms roll in for tomorrow. It'll be a darker and damper day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we'll be joined by former congressional candidate and small business owner Tom Pawlowitz. We'll be talking about money in politics. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Whether you're on the shores of Lake Superior, all the way over to the shores of Lake Michigan, perhaps in the Driftless, or in the heart of the Green Bay Packers. Welcome into the Todd Lawbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin on broadcast radio and around the world on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it today on either your Apple or Android device, the Civic Media app. It's free. It's easy, just like Todd. No, I'm not sure what that even means. It's 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. We welcome in our friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Trigvi Olsen. Like myself, a Wisconsin boy, a proud Packer fan, although Trigvi's actually a Packer owner, unlike Todd. Like me, a former Republican, now senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, always great to have you along. It's been announced this morning that President Biden and former President Donald Trump will go head-to-head in presidential debates on June 27th and September 10th, with the two White House hopefuls accepting invitations from CNN and ABC News to participate in events after a flurry of activity on Wednesday. And also just breaking here in the last minute or so, Brian Stetler, a great author of all things news and entertainment, says ABC's press release about the Biden-Trump debate says ABC News will make the debate available to simulcast on additional broadcast and streaming networks in America. It appears, Trigvi, that there will be at least a couple of presidential debates this year.
Yeah, which is kind of interesting that the RNC had pulled out of the Presidential Debate Commission. I didn't see anything. I don't know if the campaigns agreed through the networks to do these independently. If the Presidential Debate Commission is in the middle of it, it does appear that. You know, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that process side of things. Having gone through primary presidential debates in 2012, I think there were like 38 of them. And I have to say, I mean, it's fun traveling to Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina once, and Florida. But it's not so great to travel there 38 times or whatever it was. And but I mean, it's good that Americans are going to get a chance to see the two of them head to head. You know, it will be interesting to see how that plays out.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to ask Trigvi a question, comment, concern, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. And Matt, listening in on WMDX here in Madison. Matt from Middleton, we appreciate you listening. Matt, what say you?
Hey, guys. I had a thought here and an idea that I want your opinions on about the debate. But it also has to do with Russia and the idea that Putin is selling and believes, which is fundamentally that humans are flawed, things are always bad and always will be, so you might as well have an autocrat that will at least give you bread, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Biden should look across at Trump during a debate and challenge him to answer honestly and forthright what makes America great, because he talks about it all the time. And we know that the America he thinks is great was the 1950s, when all these marginalized communities had no power, no voice, and were kind of stuck in the shadows, whatnot. And I think it would be a big fumble for Trump. I think it would be a win for Biden, because he'd be put on the spot, and he's not intelligent enough to lie in a good way, so to speak. So I'm wondering what you think about that, if he would really fumble that and it would be good for Biden. Thanks.
You know, I do think You know, I don't know what Trump would say if he was asked what makes America great. I'm not sure that he would talk about the 1950s, and maybe that's what they're clamoring for. Quite honestly, I don't think that most of the so-called right really knows what it is that has traditionally made America great, right? Like, you know, it's the fact that we didn't, after World War II, occupy countries, that we built countries based on, rebuilt them while the Soviets were occupying countries, and that the history of humanity had been to do that. Those are the things that made America exceptional. Donald Trump, you know, what makes America great for Donald Trump, I think, is anything that's beneficial to Donald Trump. Can he answer that question? Maybe he can give some kind of answer that his base would like. I think, you know, Joe Biden could answer the question, what makes America great? And, you know, part of the reason Todd and I went on our little tour of Wisconsin and called it what makes Wisconsin great was to point out there are a lot of things that make Wisconsin great. There's a lot of things that make America great.
Yeah, and give people a nugget here, Trigvy. We're still working on all the final details, but it appears that Trigvy and I will be hitting the road once again coming up in July across the state of Wisconsin, another 5-city tour. So stay tuned on the final details, but we're going to do her again, Trigvy.
We got some big ideas.
Yeah.
Things that make Wisconsin great. There's so many of them, you know, like I, you know, as you and I were having that conversation, I probably thought of 3 or 4 other things, right? Mm-hmm. Like we could go muskie fishing in Hayward.
Right? How about that?
On the Lac de Flambeau.
Yeah.
You ever caught a muskie, Todd?
I never have. Have you?
I have never caught a muskie either.
Well, maybe this is our time.
I've caught a lot of fish in my life, but I have never caught a muskie. Nope.
Well, I think it'll be great because, of course, we got the RNC coming up, Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. And we thought, well, what the heck? Because we're going to hear a lot to the caller's point about what's wrong. We thought, well, why don't we just go around the state again and talk about all the things that are going well? And that was, you know, we're already great. We don't need Trump and Trumpism to make us great. We're already great because of Wisconsinites. So that'll be fun.
Wisconsin is great.
Yeah.
15,000 lakes, every one of them has fish in them, Todd.
Thank you so very much, Tommy George. off the text line, listening on WAUK, the Shaw, Jeff from Shorewood has a question for Trigvy. This is a good one because Trigvy has been part of preparing candidates for presidential debates. So here's one for you, Trigvy. Does Trigvy think it would be wise for Joe Biden to address his stuttering problem and deal with it at the beginning of debate? He could apply his issues to others with the same issue, unquote. Good question.
I don't know that I would say lead with it, but I think alluding to that those kinds of challenges that are personal that candidates have gone through is always an important thing. I mean, one of the things I really respect about Joe Biden, having lost a child myself, is how well he talks about that being in the public eye. You know, those are hard wounds. They're there forever. You know, our daughter would have been a senior in high school this year. It's a little weird seeing graduation things. But that said, what Joe Biden also talks about is, you know, you gain some perspective on that. And I know that we probably wouldn't have my younger daughter. And so, well, I don't know why God didn't want me to have an older daughter. I know why he wanted me to have Gaia. And Joe Biden talks about those things in a very good way, in a way that's not about him. Whereas if you notice, everything Donald Trump, and if I were the Trump team, I'd be worried about this. Everything Donald Trump talks about is Trump.
Right. Well, I as someone myself, bore with a cleft palate and cleft lip and had all kinds of speech surgeries or surgeries on that, and a lot of therapy and a lot of great people that helped me through that, and eventually ended up at a job at radio against all odds, of course. And so I relate to that empathy. And I think that's one of Biden's strongest suits. And I know people, in fact, I just talked to a friend of mine who still, I think, considers himself a Republican, but not a Trump person, and said, well, you know, I really think that some of this stuff shows that Biden is declining. And then we had a good discussion, and I pointed out, look, do you realize, you know, that he has to think every time he's in front of a camera or behind a microphone, he literally has to work at not stuttering. So sometimes when he stops and uses a different word, and it looks like some people think that he's forgotten something. It's just him using a different word so that he doesn't stutter, because he doesn't want that image out there for campaign purposes. And after we thought, he goes, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right about that. So I think it's a good thing just to remind people, not to to campaign on it, but to say, look, you know, this is something that I've struggled with, but so do a lot of Americans. And then tell a story about some one of these many young people that he still keeps in contact with to be a mentor about that. I think that'd be a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most powerful pieces of video was him with a young man who wanted to meet him on the rope line, who had a stuttering issue and was being bullied at school. And honestly, it'd bring you to tears because, you know, he was not talking as president of the United States, and he paused and he literally asked his body guy, the guy standing next to him, to get the kid's phone number so he could call in and check in on him once in a while. And I saw a video later with the dad that he had occasionally gotten calls from the president, his kid had gotten calls from the president of the United States asking him how he was doing with his working on the problem.
I love the empathy. And again, I think it's one of Biden's really strong suits. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I want to get to this. I think it's important. This is a cut from ABC News, George Stephanopoulos interviewing a former White House Situation Room officer, Mike Stigler, as he reveals what actually happened on January 6th. It's a couple of minutes long. Hang in there. We're going to get Trigvi's take on it on the other side. This is from ABC News with George Stephanopoulos.
I want to talk about January 6th. You were the duty officer that day.
Correct.
On the morning of January 6th, 2021, Stigler headed to the White House to start his usual 5 a.m. shift. Later that day, the riot erupted at the Capitol. At what point did you know that the Capitol had been breached?
As soon as it was called out on the radio. We thought somebody breached the gate or somebody breached a barrier. So when they called out that the Capitol was breached, at first we didn't know what that meant. At the time too, the vice president was there. And one of the responsibilities of the Situation Room is to always maintain communication with the president and the vice president. So those were the initial conversations of, okay, where is he? How can we locate him? You know, how do we maintain that communication link?
You told me people didn't understand how close we came to losing the vice president. What's going through your mind when you are hearing that the vice president's life may be in danger?
We start having the conversations. Okay, if VP's down, what's next? What do we got to do? How do we keep moving? Where's the second in line?
It's kind of remarkable. And you know what you're describing there is that you started to implement and go through the checklist of
the Situation Room did,
The Situation Room.
Correct.
Of what is called the continuity of government procedures. Describe what those are.
Those are originally instituted for if there's an attack on the U.S. government, how does the government, especially the executive branch, keep going? So that means line of succession. That means how do we move to different locations and how do we keep the government going?
During a riot of our own people.
Yeah.
Inspired by the man sitting upstairs.
Correct. But at the time, that's not even in the forefront of our mind. It doesn't matter how we got here. We're here. How do we execute? How do we move forward?
Did the president ever call down to the Situation Room that day?
Not to my knowledge.
Not once?
No, sir.
Didn't ask what was going on?
Not to my knowledge.
Didn't ask how the vice president's doing?
Not to my knowledge.
Some people even questioned the elected officials whether the vice president was really in danger. You see a lot of revisionist history going on about January 6th. As someone who was inside the room that day, what's your reaction?
It's important to me that we don't forget that it did come that close, and that we did have discussions. If we lose the VP, if the 25th is invoked, we started running through all of these game plans because it was getting close.
Trivia Olson from ABC News there, George Stephanopoulos interviewing one of the key people in the White House Situation Room on January 6th. I thought that was a powerful interview and a powerful thing to listen to.
Yeah, incredibly powerful. I mean, I think we forget because we live in an age of such rapidly happening news and how much news is available to people. But I would go so far as to say, you know, I truly believe that what we saw on January 6th was and should be, but it probably isn't, the most consequential thing that happened in American history since maybe Truman's decision to drop an atomic bomb on Japan, or maybe Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
It was that big a deal. And in some ways, quite honestly, bigger deal because, you know, maybe Pearl Harbor, because the United States was at risk of having a coup.
And I think it's more powerful.
Or a bloodbath of politicians being murdered in the House of the People.
In my opinion, it's more powerful because, unlike those other examples you cited, instead of coming from the outside adversaries, it came from within the United States of America, as they pointed out, propagated, started by the, quote, the person upstairs at the time, President Trump. Come back with more of your phone calls and Trigby as well, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, back on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wava.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about unclaimed money. I love claiming unclaimed money. Unclaimed money is money that folks leave behind, you know, like old security deposits or bank accounts, tax refunds, uncashed checks, the list goes on. And almost 1 in 7 Americans has some. To see if you are owed money, go to unclaimed.org and search every state where you think you might have had any open accounts. In 2023, over $5 billion was returned to people who claimed it, and I was one of those people. I check the site every so often because new things get added periodically. In the last 5 years alone, I reclaimed over $300 in landlord refunds, and then there was this one old bank account that I thought I'd closed, but turns out I hadn't. It took just a few minutes, and it was really worth it. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more tips and tricks on how to save more and spend less, go to workmoney.org. Until next time, take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock on this hump day, Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, now fighting against Trump and Trumpism, preserving democracy, doing great work, the Lincoln Project. Check them out online on your favorite streaming device. They have Rick Wilson, great, one of the founders, Stuart Stevens, Joe Trippi. I mean, just great people. And I love it, Trigby, because it's unvarnished truth, which a lot of people need right now. And I just appreciate the work the Lincoln Project is doing.
Well, as you know, it is liberating to be able to speak the truth. You and I were on a podcast. It's going to get released. I don't know when, but we'll push it around to people. If you follow on Twitter, I'm at Trigvy, T-R-Y-G-V-E Olson, O-L-S-O-N. But we were really unvarnished in that podcast, I think, Todd, maybe me more than you. You know what, though? You want to know one of the things that makes Wisconsin great?
What?
The University of Wisconsin. You want to know one of the things that makes the University of Wisconsin great?
What?
The fact that Steve Miller was a student of fine arts at one point at the University of Wisconsin.
I did not know that, to quote Johnny Carson and Chris Myers.
Yeah, you know how I know that? I saw Steve Miller years ago when I was working and living in Madison.
Really?
In Madison, and at Dane County Coliseum, and he got up there and he comes out and he's like, he's from Illinois, like Rockford or something. But he's like, it is so great to be back here. And he told the story how he went for a year. And then he decided to move out to San Francisco and pursue a music career. But he loves Madison.
That's awesome. See, another great factoid about Wisconsin, courtesy of Trigby Olson. You know what else is great? Our listeners and callers as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's keep it here. Madison, listening on WMDX. Joe, always appreciate you listening and your phone calls as well. Wanted to talk about Speaker Johnson. Go ahead, Joe.
Boy, I could go on for a couple hours here, as I'm sure you guys could too. I think the image of Speaker Johnson, Speaker of Johnson, of the whole Congress. I understand that Congress is in session now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday he chooses to sashay up to New York and trash the judge's daughter for Mr. Trump, which I find an amazing use of our taxpayer dollars. Just an amazing use of our dollars. I'm also kind of stunned by the hypocrisy. There's a clip from him today. He's at a podium. It has the back the blue graphic work on it, so to indicate the Republicans truly back the blue. First off, Mr. Johnson, Speaker Johnson is up there. He's a guy who was rattled on about how he and his son have anti-porn apps that they utilize so that they won't be sullied by pornography, either one of them. And there he is going up to support a guy who was cheerfully courting a porn star and then lying about it to his dear wife who had a four-month-old son at home. But I think that going back to this hypocrisy of the back the blue, I did not realize that the statistics were this, that under Speaker Johnson, the cuts to agencies that one might describe as blue are the following. DOJ was cut by 3%, the FBI was cut by 6%, and the ATF was cut by 7%. Those are the numbers that Republican group came up with. Where's the back the blue? I mean, you know, ATF is about gun safety. FBI is going against. You guys can talk about this. I just find the hypocrisy on so many levels to be so unbelievable. Mr. Anti-Porn standing up for Donald Trump, and here we are with these cuts to these agencies that were proposed. Thanks a lot, guys.
So
I'd be interested in your
Can you clarify something? There's a lot of Johnsons that I know. Now, he's the little Johnson that's in Congress?
Yeah. At least in character.
The little guy.
Little Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't get into anything
else.
Johnson. In character, he's the little Johnson. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thank you, Joe. Always appreciate the call. I mean, she's spot on, Trigvy. When the stuff came out earlier on these cuts, we talked about this a little bit. I appreciate Joe bringing it back up. The hypocrisy, once again, that somehow Republicans are better on law enforcement, and yet they cut these federal agencies that are working on law enforcement issues. The hypocrisy is just ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I mean, ton of hypocrisy. I think here's the thing, though. You got to look a little deeper. What is Mike Johnson trying to do here, little Johnson? He defied Trump on aid to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, a majority of his caucus was in favor of it, but he defied Trump on Ukraine, so now he has to try and make amends, right? And so whatever hypocrisy he ends up demonstrating, he has no choice but to do it because he has demonstrated disloyalty. Now he has to more than make up to it in demonstrating loyalty, even if it makes him small Johnson.
I always enjoy the way you put things. No, I think that's right. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's just about sucking up and getting into the good graces of Trump. And I've never before seen in my lifetime, Trigvy, we're roughly the same age. I've never before seen an American politician who demands fidelity and loyalty like Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, I mean, because we have not had an autocratic leader of a major party in a long time. And so that is just the way it works. And so people like Mike Johnson end up doing that. And as you know, I know a lot of Johnsons. You met one of the big Johnsons that I know, Mike Johnson, who's a fantastic guy, superintendent up at, part of what makes Wisconsin great, superintendent up in Eau Claire.
Absolutely.
Who used to beat up on your boys from Platteville on a regular
basis. Fine. What, before we get down, speaking of basketball, let's end it on this.
Let's talk about this. About a minute left.
Doug Gottlieb, national radio host for Fox Radio and a former CBS broadcaster, has been named the new head coach at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay men's basketball coach. But get this, he's going to keep doing his radio show every afternoon, Monday through Friday. What do you make of that?
I was a closeted Minnesota Timberwolves fan up until this season for like 25 years. Mm-hmm. And they at one point hired a color commentator as their GM, and it was a disaster. So I think that is a recipe for disaster. I know nothing about the guy, but
Well, he played it.
I do not believe this man is. Yeah.
He played at Notre Dame.
I mean, wasn't Tony Bennett, or no, the old man was coaching Green Bay.
Dick Bennett. That's where he got his big start. Stephen's point, they went to Green Bay, and he took Green Bay into the NCAA tournament, then became Wisconsin's basketball coach, and finished up at Washington State. And then his son took over that program and then won a national championship at Virginia.
So, Packers schedule's coming out today, Todd.
It is. We'll find out whether Trey and I are going to meet up in Seattle later on and watch the Packers out there on the West Coast.
December 15th.
Is it? Oh, leaked. Wow. Wow. All right. Very good. Yep. Can't wait.
I think we should.
All right. We'll do it. Thank you very much, Trey. We see you next week. Appreciate it. Stay tuned for hour number two after this.
93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things sports balls with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.